Well, you know, as I thought about this morning, you know, there's so much you can cover in the Christmas story, but I look here within these two chapters, and there's songs here, songs that maybe when we read through them, you don't get this melody in your heart in a sense that says, well, you can sing that to this melody and so forth. But there's songs here of different people. And what I mean by that is that there's a thanksgiving that's going on as the Savior is being birthed into the world. So I wanted to cover some of these songs. And obviously the first one here that we'll look at is Elizabeth's song. You know, as you look in chapter 1, we see the announcement there to Zacharias of John the Baptist being born or coming to existence there. And, you know, we must remember where they're at in their lives. You know, they're not spring chickens. You know, we think of young people having babies, not some lady that the Scripture says that is advanced in years. So this is definitely a miracle in itself. If we just take Elizabeth and Zacharias, we see this wonderful miracle of the birth of John the Baptist. And then on top of that, right, 6 months after that or so, we see the birth of Christ. We see the birth of Jesus there, an impossible feat. Almighty God impregnating a virgin, and His Son being birthed in a natural womb. God becoming man, in a sense there. So, as we see this, we see some things, right? We see Zacharias not necessarily believing the angel. You know, he had something within his heart that the Holy Spirit saw. And Zacharias, remember, his speech was taken from him for that 9 months. If you've ever had any experience at all with just being sick, sometimes we are put in a place where we can't do what we wished we could have done. We wish, boy, I wish we could go to work now. Now that I'm sick, I didn't want to go to work yesterday, but boy, I want to go to work today, but I can't, you know, that kind of thing. And sometimes the Lord will position you in those spots in order to reveal to you something special. I think He did that to Zacharias. You know, we don't know what those 9 months were filled with, but wow, it must have been filled with some spectacular thoughts and it, you know, just the Lord speaking to his heart there. But yeah, so here's Jesus. You know, the angel comes in verse 30 of chapter 1 there to Mary. He you know, springs upon her, and of course she's a little afraid. And the angel there in 30 says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You know, the one thing about Mary that we know is that she found favor, right? One of the things, we know many things about her as we go through her song even. But the one thing we know is that she found favor. That means that she was undeserving of God's blessing upon her life, right? But that He found that God gave her favor. And it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." You know, God even gave her the name, you know, of the Lord. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Just think of being Mary and being exposed to this. If you're not afraid anymore, you're overwhelmed, knowing that God God's son was in her womb, and he was great, and he would be called the Son of the Most High, not Joseph's kid, And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." We need to be overshadowed by the power of the Most High, don't we? "Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, he will be the Messiah. He will be the Messiah. "And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son." And of course, this is John in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. "For with God, nothing is impossible." I think that's important that we keep it in mind here. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." And we need to stand firm on God's word. We need to want things to happen according to His word, not our word. We want to have things appear as if it was His desire and not our desires. It's always pointing towards the Lord there. And so Mary now, she goes and she visits Elizabeth. She arrives there. And it says in verse 41 there, it says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary." Can you kind of see this in a sense? Mary walks into their abode and she says, "Elizabeth, it's Mary." Right? And she greets Elizabeth there, and the babe in her womb leaps. He leaps almost with an excitement or anticipation of what is coming. And it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I always love those things, because I think, throughout history we see the Holy Spirit being, exposed to somebody, right? It's, we see this often where this one particular person is filled and this person over here is filled, and sometimes people say, "Well, the Holy Spirit didn't come about until Pentecost." Well, that's when it was open to all. Then at Pentecost, it was anybody who believed was able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God in His plan would have certain people like the Elizabeths that were just filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the page says. That's what the words on this page says, that the Holy Spirit filled her. And here's her song. It says, "And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said this." And it was with a loud voice. It was something very excitable to her. She was excited about what had come through the doors, I think the church is sleepy today. They're not very excitable. I think when we sing praises to the Lord, are we singing praises to the Lord? Are we singing, "Oh, come"? It's almost like I was thinking about some of these songs, and I was, and as I was reading through this morning, I was thinking, what is the melody of these songs? I think some of the melody of these songs should be excitable melodies. You know what I mean? They should be on the top hits, for Christmas songs, of today. And I just think that the Christian needs to be a little bit more excited about the Lord and His coming. Just think, If they were excited about this coming, we should be excited. We should be over excited for the coming of the Lord now. He is coming, He's returning, and He's going to gather up His church, and He's going to spare us of all the wrath that He pours out upon this world. He's going to take us to a place that is much better. They don't have 20 inches of snow out here or 40 inches in Binghamton, you know? It's going to be like, wow, this is going to be awesome. Don't you love to sit inside? I do anyways. I love sitting inside and watching the snowfall. I think it's beautiful, right? But I don't like going the next step, right? I don't like going outside and spending 4 hours in the snow shoveling the driveway. So I don't think God's going to take away the beauty that I like, but He's going to take away some of the other stuff that is painful and to the affliction. Oh my! I was telling Karen last night, boy, my right here in my shoulder, my chest area there. Oh, it's just so sore and tender. I think it's just from, you know, that whole action there that I'm just not used to, you know. But I think this is an excitable song here. And she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which we were told her from the Lord, which were told her from the Lord. But here is Elizabeth, right? Mary approaches her. John the Baptist, obviously, in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think without the Holy Spirit, see, I don't think Elizabeth says this stuff. I think it's something that the Holy Spirit brings about in her. Because I think without the Holy Spirit, see, she would be much like her husband Zacharias, that was silent, that had no words to say, no praises to sing. All of it being a question or a doubt of the Lord there. But she had this joy within her heart, almost an overwhelming joy, that she was so blessed that the mother of the Lord would be among her. Blessed are you among women. Remember, it doesn't say there that she is above women. It says that she is blessed among women. And we understand that because, see, she was carrying the Savior of the world. Of course she was blessed. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. So in that blessed means to speak well of. She, you know, Mary's spoken well of. Again, she didn't deserve it. You know, there's probably other virgins that might even qualified above her. But God chose her. You know, that's the amazing thing. Believe me, there's many other people that God can choose besides you. Don't get so high on our horses that we think that we're something special. God could use anybody. He used a donkey, right? He can use other donkeys besides you. The call is for us to be faithful to Him, to be devoted to Him, to be devoted to sharing the gospel in those times when we're maybe not so likely to share it on our own. But we ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit, and He brings about these words that come out of our mouth that maybe even surprise us. because the Holy Spirit does things. Verse 37, for with God nothing is impossible. These births weren't impossible. God using us isn't impossible. I even like the faith of Elizabeth here in verse 44. She says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded," she really believed. She said, "Why is this granted to me that my mother, the Lord, should even come to me?" She didn't even feel worthy, and she said, "But indeed, it's happened. It's happened. This voice, your voice came and sounded, and my baby leaped, and I knew it was you." And she's so thankful that Mary believed the angel when the angel came and spoke to her. And then the Lord fulfilled those things that she did conceive. This leaping of John in the womb and the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's joy in that. Right? "The baby leaped in my womb for joy." And Elizabeth, of course, was full of joy. And so there's the song of Elizabeth, and there's the song of Mary in the next few verses here that I want to go through. The assurance here and the encouragement that Elizabeth gives to Mary must have just filled her heart with joy as well, because she just sings this beautiful song here. And of course, we would, and Keith went through this last week. We did this as our responsive reading there, the Magnificat. It was really Mary's desire to magnify the Lord. It was her desire to magnify the Lord. As we start out, "My soul magnifies the Lord." I like how she starts out with that, because I think we ought to start out the same way with our songs. At least have that attitude of heart that says, "Today when I sing, I want to magnify the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord. I don't want to magnify my beautiful voice or my rhythm or whatever the case may be, whatever, you know, perhaps you could take credit for. I don't want to do that. I want to really magnify the Lord. I want to give Him credit, because when I do that, there's real joy." Right? Matter of fact, in this stanza of verses 46 through 55, you'll see the statement that she makes. It says, "He has..." And make note, I've underlined them in my Bible, because I really don't want to forget what He has done. How many of us want to forget what we have done? What we've done. But we don't want to forget what He has done. There's no self-praise here in this song of Mary. So we start out 46 through 49 really speaks to Mary herself here. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." You know, as I was thinking about magnification, just from this little verse, you know, a lot of times when we get out the magnifying glass, we get it out because we can't see something. It's too small, right? It's too small, and we want to make it larger so that we can see, because we're old, right? Or maybe it's just too small. But see, with God, when she says, "I magnify Him," she's not making Him bigger per se, because God is beyond our capability of understanding how big He is. But sometimes, don't we need to make Him bigger for our own self? We can, you know, our lives should magnify the Lord. It should, when people see us, wow, they see how big God is, you know. When they hear our testimony of how God saved us sinners, they go, wow, He must be a big God. They see the reality of what Mary is getting at here, how big He is. My soul magnifies the Lord. The very depths of me just magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You know, Keith stated it last week. The reason why God puts that in Scripture here, in her song, is because she needed a Savior, because she was a sinner. Mary wasn't perfect like many claim. For he has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She got this. Because, see, she was in a lowly state. She was in this humble state. And it says there that He has regarded me. He has chosen me. He has chosen me. That in itself should humble us. Because we know ourselves. Well, God knows you better. God knows every nook and cranny you got. You know. But He chose her. Lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. All generations. Of course, today we're talking about her. How blessed she was to carry the Son of God. How blessed she was to carry the Messiah, the one that would save us from death. And how blessed we are. Because the Holy Spirit today dwells in us. Those that know Him dwells in us. How blessed we are that we can say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That He dwells with in us. That He walks with us. How blessed we are. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is His name. He's mighty, and He's done great things for you. Undeserved things for you. For Mary. Mary's saying, I do not deserve this. He has done great things for me. You know, in the time, in the day of this event, there was this expectation that the Messiah would come. Just as we expect Him to come back, right? They expected Him to come for this first time, and many of the virgins would say, maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one that he would choose. And she says, oh, He's chosen me, and I get to experience this wonderful grace that he has bestowed upon me. It's all grace. She deserved nothing of it. So Mary here says, look it, He saved me, He's chosen me, and He's bestowed His grace upon me. Kind of like Elizabeth. Elizabeth was like, wow, I get to have the mother of my Savior walk through my door. What did I do to deserve this? Well, like all of us, we didn't deserve any of it. What did I deserve to open my life up to the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him walk into it? What did I deserve to have the fountain of life just poured into me, the Holy Spirit? Oh, what did I do to deserve that? Nothing. It's all by His grace. I was a child of wrath, yet now I'm a child of His. We deserve nothing of this. Verse 50. Here he start, you know, she starts to sing how really, you know, that what God does for us today, what He did for us and what He does for us. She puts this in a present tense. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped. I won't go that far. But He has shown us mercy. Right? He has shown the strength of His arm in our lives. He has helped us. There's times when we couldn't help ourselves, and yet He helped us. You know? Scatters the proud. Scatters those proud in the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty in their throne and has exalted the lowly. He has exalted those that are humble. And He has filled those that are hungry. He has provided for them. Remember, in those days, there is many that would be, because of the environment they lived in, the Roman government and so forth, that they would just be oppressed. They would be downtrodden, you know, and here they are, and God would say through Mary here, look it, I fill the hungry. Those that are hungry, I provide for them. I provide for them. He has provided so much for us, hasn't He? Mary saw God just, you know, turning, in a sense, the world upside down, didn't she? She really held true to verse 37 there, for with God nothing is impossible. He took those that were proud of themselves and He humbled them. He turned them upside down. He scattered them. He put down the mighty from their thrones. And those that were rich and thought they could provide for themselves, He left them and sent them away empty. But those that entrusted their lives into His hands, those of us that have done that, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's so good to us. Verse 54, and He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. God would provide there for the mercies for Israel. And so she praised Him for taking care of her nation. Again, this song is just a song of joy. It's a good song of joy unto the Lord that is given to us. Why do I give you these songs today? Because I think that some of us need to have a song. We need to have a stanza that's praising the Lord in our hearts. We need to be walking with a song of praise in our hearts. I think we need to be able to get up in the morning. We need to sing to the Lord. I think it's a good thing to walk and work and sing. something about being married before the Lord to give Him praise, right? We can grumble about, oh, there's so many things in the world that upset us, you know. We have to wear the mask, I can get into all those conversations with myself in the mirror. And it can distort my joy, can't it? Yet God wants us to have the joy of our salvation. He wants us to be joyful in our walk with Him. He wants us to have such a countenance that we're attractive to the world, that the world would see a difference in us. And oh, you know, God, in those 9 months that Zacharias would sit there and ponder what the angel had said to him, would just come alive in verse 67. As, you know, John the Baptist is born, he's circumcised there, and of course the thing that would come up with, well, what do we call him, Zacharias? And oh, what a heart change Zacharias must have had, because Zacharias was now listening to the words of the angel that had presented to him to name him John. And you know, any father would have his son at this point in time named after him. It's a firstborn. He should be named after Zacharias. And it was a custom and so forth. And yet Zacharias comes alive and agrees with the mother there. No, we shall call him John. And of course, with that agreement came his speech. And when his speech came back to him, Zacharias had a song, didn't he? He had a song. And Zacharias would prophesy here. In verse 67, he says, "Now, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit." There you go again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, if you look back on Zacharias and his doubting and so forth of the angel coming to him, the reason I think he probably didn't really get it was that he didn't have this filling right then. Now, through this 9 month period, God changed his heart, and bingo, he has this filling of the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies this truth. Says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." Isn't this awesome? Is that before it even happened, it happened. Because His words are, you know, He has visited. They're past tense. He's done it. He's redeemed. You know, one day God didn't just wake up and say we needed a Savior. He had this plan since eternity began, you know. He had this plan that He knew that man needed a Savior. Redeemed. That word redeemed means to set free. By paying a price to set free, and it gives you the picture of these captives that were bound in their sin, or bound in their chains, that were captive by bars, you know, that they couldn't get out of, and here comes the guy with the keys, and he releases the captives from the chains, and sets them free. He pays the price. For sin and death. He has victory over them. And it says, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, speaking of the lineage there that Jesus would come from. The horn is used in Scripture as meaning power and victory. The picture here is like an army that is about to be taken captive. But help arrives. And he defeats the enemy. That's the picture here. He's He's victorious over this. Kind of reminds me of the football, you know, it always goes back to football, right? Sometimes. Reminds me of the game last week against Baltimore and Cleveland. I didn't see the whole thing because I was dead tired and I went to bed, but Noah and Karen filled me in on the rest. Yes, Karen stayed up and watched some of it. Well, she went to bed and then she got up and then she came back and she watched the end. So she knows the end of the story just like us. We know the end of the story. Well, Lamar Jackson gets hurt. He goes out. He has bad cramps. He goes to the locker room. And the team is down. And so they put in the second string quarterback. The second string quarterback gets hurt. And everybody's thinking, oh no, what are we going to do? Right? And we're out of quarterbacks. So my phone rings. No, I'm just kidding. And all of a sudden, out of the locker room comes Lamar Jackson running down. His cramps are no more. And he runs out on the field and he gets in back of the center and he hikes the ball and he throws this long pass. Touchdown. And eventually they win. But I've got a better story. This is a better story. See, that was one event. It doesn't hold true for all the rest of the opponents that Baltimore is going to face. But for us it does, see. Because Jesus came into this world on this plan to go to the cross. This baby, can you imagine holding your little child and thinking it was going to go to the cross? How sad you'd be. But this would save the nation. This would not only save the nation, but it would save the world. He would be victorious. He would be the horn of salvation. He was the horn that everybody believed in, was waiting for. This was anticipated from the beginning. That, you know, when sin fell upon man, that this horn would come and save them from their sin and give them victory over death. And yes, many would equate it to a victory upon this earth, but Jesus, but God had a bigger plan. His plan was victory forever. And I think I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting out of the nonsense of this world. I'm looking forward to standing before the throne of God and just giving Him all the praise that He deserves. And I am humbled that He would even accept my praise. The horn of our salvation. As He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before Him all the days of our lives. We should echo that. This, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to serve Him. It's not to serve ourselves. It's not to, you know, make our dreams come true kind of thing. It's to serve Him. He has rescued us from sin and death. He has rescued us. We cannot rescue ourselves from sin or death. We can't do it. He did it for us. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. This is speaking of John the Baptist, of course. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins. You will go and you will be announcing the coming of the King, in a sense there. The King that has all power, the horn of salvation. Through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That day spring there, the really means sunrise. It's the sunrise. It's Jesus would come to give light. And without light, you know, we can have the best eyes that a body could have. But without light, we can't see. And we've experienced that when we've went down into the, you know, into the dark caverns there on our vacations and so forth. But here it is, you know. This storehouse that was stored up over the last 9 months of Zacharias's life, it was as if the doors had opened and bursted forth, and now his joy was just birthed here. He's going to give us light that we can see. He's going to guide our feet into the way of peace. He guides our feet. He gives us joy. And then in chapter 2, in verse 8, we even sang about this morning in one of the songs. How fitting. The Lord knows. It says in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" The shepherds, of course, while the angels here were full of awe and worship, right? But remember, the announcement of this came to these shepherds such that they would go to the Savior. And, you know, as we looked at Mary's song there and how, you know, the part there about her being lowly and that God would exalted the lowly. Well, the shepherds were the lowly. They were the ones that kind of were looked upon or frowned upon. They were kind of the outcasts. They were the dirty ones, you know, because they had so much contact with all these icky animals, I guess. So it's another revelation of God's grace upon somebody. Did the shepherds deserve this opportunity to go and see this babe? No, it was something that God allowed them to do. God presented it to them, and they went. And in verse 10, there's this proclamation to the world here. It says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all people. It was for the Gentiles as well. During this time, there was, I might be pronouncing this wrong, but bear with me. It's called Pax Roma. It means Roman peace. Is that how you say it? Pax Roma? Pax Roma, okay. I was looking to my scholars. Romona?
Pax Romana.
Romana. There, it sounds like, cheese or something there. But really, and I suppose if you're at an Italian dinner and you don't have, cheese, it might not be peaceful for your spaghetti and all that stuff. But it was Roman peace, right? It was peace without war. And at the time, it was Roman rule. And of course, the Romans ruled. And there was no war. But, even when you have times, even in this society that we live in, we look about, there's not a lot of war going on, it doesn't seem. There's some civil here and civil there, unrest and so forth. But in our country, we could say, hey, it's pretty peaceful. I mean, I know that we got some of this racial eruptions going on in our society and maybe some things like that. But just because you have that doesn't mean you have peace. Right? Because we see a lot of people with money, they just aren't ever satisfied, are they? It's always more money. It's always more money. They just don't have any peace. And then you see somebody that doesn't have much and they're like, wow, man, this guy's got peace. Why is that? Because he has Jesus and you don't. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple formula. You want peace? Then you got to accept him. Jesus says, "I come to give you peace," right? So he's going to give. Are you accepting of his peace? It's interesting because in Job 38, it speaks of the creation there. It says the morning star sang. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, meaning all creation would, at the time of creation, there was this explosion of praise, in a sense, for God. And now, there's this explosion of praise when there's a new creation, right? When there's a new creation, when God does a work in somebody's life, the angels in heaven rejoice. There's this explosion of praise, of course. But he is the one that brings peace. He's the one that brings joy into our life. The world has nothing to offer that brings joy. There might be an instant of time when somebody's real happy, but it's not sustainable by the world. The last song that I want to look at is Simeon. In verse 25. Seemingly just a simple man. Simple man, but look it. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And his name, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." I love these songs because the Holy Spirit's always active in these songs. And the consolation there of Israel is really the comfort or the peace of Israel. This is something that This man was looking and waiting. It says he was waiting for this time, this moment. He was looking for the Prince of Peace. He so much wanted him to come. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it said, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So look at here. In verse 27 it says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. That's how people come to the Lord. The Lord draws them in by His Spirit. He draws them in here's Mary and Joseph. They had brought the child in there, and the Spirit of God drew Simeon to this child. And he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. I can go now. I can go now. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Mind you, it was God's salvation that he saw, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which he spoke to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined. Now, if there was any pause there, the parents might have been on, you know, just waiting to see what he's going to say. Is destined for what? With all excitement, right? Marvelous riches. The largest kingdom. The greatest following. The best leader. All destined, right? But this is what he was destined for. The fall and rise of many in Israel. And for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Said, look it, this is going to be painful for you. The birth of your son is exciting now, but it might be, you know, so many times we take Jesus at this time of year and we glorify this event of his birth, and certainly it's a wonderful, obviously it had to happen before his death, right? But we got to remember he was born so that he could pay a price, so that we could be redeemed, right? We could be set free from sin and from death. So Simeon says, you know, just what a wonderful saint here. The description of him as being just and as in justified, you know. He was justified and he was devoted. He was devoted to God. And the song that he sang was just of thanksgiving to the Lord that he was able to hold the Savior of the world. And you know that invitation, I think, is open today. That invitation that people can come to Christ as they are, right? Because His grace allows everybody to come. It's for all people. It's for the Gentiles. It's for the Jews. They're all to come. and receive Him and hold Him in their hearts, to accept Him, to believe upon Him, to believe that He didn't just stay as a baby. Right? Just think of John the Baptist living in the wilderness, waiting for the time he would prepare the way of the Lord. What patience he had. But that was the fulfillment of it all, of the sorrows that Simeon would say would be there for the mother and the father there as their son hung, well, at least Mary's son would hang there, you know, on the cross, give his life for the sins of the world. That's the real celebration today. The real celebration is how Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came into this world to die on the cross, to be resurrected from the dead, have victory over sin and death, and that Jesus would set us free. Right? Jesus would set us free. Let's pray and thank God for that. Father, we thank You, Lord, for your ultimate plan, Lord. How You saw that we needed a Savior, Lord. That we needed redemption, Lord. We needed to be bought, Lord, and blood would be the price paid, Lord, and it would be Your Son. And we're thankful, Lord, for the victory that You have given us in our lives, Lord. And thank You for eternity, Lord, that You have secured us, assured us of eternity, those that know Him, Lord. And I pray for anybody that might be listening or that if they haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, Lord, into their lives, Lord, that they haven't believed upon Your name and entrusted their lives into Your hands, Lord, that such a thing would happen today, Lord, for them. And that they would learn to walk with You and talk with You. And Father, You're so gracious. If there's any gift that we could give anybody this Christmas, Lord, we pray it would be salvation that comes from the horn of salvation, and that is Jesus. And thank You, Father, for Your goodness. And we want to praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.